This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Michigan Congressman Thaddeus McCotter, Republican representing the Great Lakes State's 11th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Republican Leadership and a member of the House Financial Services Committee. We want to get his thoughts on a couple of issues related to the nation's fiscal health. First of all, Congressional Democrats looking to raise the debt ceiling by $1.8 trillion. And we also want to get his thoughts briefly on the president's meeting with banking executives here in Washington today. And Congressman, it's great to have you with us again.
Oh, nice to be back.
Well, we've certainly seen the debt ceiling come up for votes over the past several years in both the Bush and now the Obama administration. Your thoughts on the administration asking for a nearly $2 trillion extension of this debt ceiling?
Well, I clearly wouldn't support it. I think what we have to do is what the American people have told us loud and clear. They want Washington to start getting its fiscal house in order and start to make difficult decisions like families across America are going to have to do and have been doing, especially back in my home state of Michigan. And I would hope that the Democratic Party wouldn't use the Defense Department bill or any other mechanism and just have a clean up or down vote and let the will of the people be heard. If, unfortunately, they link it to other things, then it's going to be a very difficult matter for the American people to accept because I think that they will feel that the bill that it was put on was being taken advantage of.
Congressman, if in fact it is attached, how do you vote on that? Obviously, you need to support the military, but at the same time, you're opposed to the increase of the debt ceiling, so which one influences your vote more?
Well, right now, we're going to continue to focus on trying to prevent that from happening. If one starts running around saying what they'll do in a hypothetical situation, it means you've conceded the fight against it. So let's hope that reason prevails and the Democrats do the right thing. And in fairness to them, we've heard different things, and it's not necessarily a fait accompli.
In terms of this strategy, do your constituents notice when this happens? It happened earlier this year on a defense authorization bill. They threw hate crimes legislation, which I know a lot of conservatives were very much opposed to. And as a result, it was attached to a so-called must-pass bill, and now it's law. Is that something that registers back home, or does that just get lost in the logistical weeds?
Well, it depends on the constituent. A lot of constituents who number one concern is the war for freedom and the support of our troops understand it. They're unhappy with it. Others on different sides of the spectrum, some are unhappy with the bill itself if you're on the left and don't want to see it passed. So it depends on the constituents. The deficit in debt, though, is something that seems to be, and rightly so, permeating the American people's consciousness, that they understand it. They understand why it's unhelpful to their current economic situation because government can't spend itself out of a recession. They understand that it's taking money that their children are going to have to earn to pay this off. They also understand it's going to fund things that they do not support, things like the cap and tax proposal on energy and things such as the health care bill. So they are very well aware of it. They're very focused on it.
What happens if the debt ceiling extension is not approved? What choices does Congress have to make then?
Difficult choices. Difficult choices and choices the American people want them to make to live within their means. And potentially many of the proposals and policies that this administration wants to go forward and do are not going to be able to go forward. But let's remember, Greg, that the reason that the debt ceiling is being raised, it's like your credit card. You're maxed out, and what you're going back for is more. We're already talking about the government having to go back and borrow more and more money, and this is before things, hopefully, as a Republican and as an American, I hope they don't pass. But if you have health care pass, if you have the cap and tax proposal pass, or you have another stimulus package of government spending passed, what you're going to see is that you're going to have to go back even after this and raise that ceiling. So the American people who make difficult decisions every day in their households seem to think, and rightly so, that the politicians they send to work for them in Washington should be able to do the same thing.
Congressman, I remember distinctly, and I'm sure you do as well, back in the 2006 campaign in which the Democrats took back the majority in both the House and Senate, they said their philosophy going forward would be pay as you go. What happened to that?
You'd have to ask them, but the fact that you asked the question, Greg, shows that there is some concern that it hasn't been followed through on.
Over the weekend, of course, we saw the Senate pass a $1 trillion spending measure. What's the latest on that? What's going to happen with that in the House?
Well, the House right now is kind of in a hurry-up-and-wait situation. We're waiting to see what they do with health care, if anything. We're waiting to see if they do anything with cap and trade, if anything. We're waiting to see what they do with defense and other bills. But the House Republicans have clearly gotten it. We've been voting against this excessive spending continually from the stimulus vote on. We will intend to continue to do the same thing. I think you've seen us united in our concern for the fiscal integrity of the United States going forward, and I think we're going to continue that, regardless of what the Senate does or doesn't do.
president today meeting with executives from financial institutions, banks, and so forth, saying that they need to do more. And just a short while ago, he said that the problem we're in is largely one of their own making. And obviously, there's a lot of blame to spread around for what happened in mid to late 2008 and the repercussions that we're still suffering from here. But what do you make of the president's analysis of that, and perhaps more importantly, his prescription for it?
Well, I think it's a rather shallow interpretation of what happened. I was the first member of Congress to oppose the Wall Street bailout. And when you analyze that, you had to understand that the bill itself was not going to do what they thought it would do, which is help the American people on Main Street. You had to go back and look at the root causes of this, which includes mercantilist policies within communist China, having to send our money back into bubbles in housing. You have to look at the Community Reinvestment Act, which forced banks and other financial institutions to make bad decisions at government's request in terms of the housing market. So when you look at this, it's relatively complex. And what the president seems to keep forgetting is that he also supported the TARP program. He voted for the TARP program. He also put in his stimulus bill protection of the AIG bonuses he now decries. So I would ask the president to remember that when you voted on the TARP program proposal, there was nothing in that bill that said they had to loan money to Main Street. And I would hope that he would start with a mea culpa there and then try to engage the Wall Street community to do the right thing. But if you simply take from the premise that you've done absolutely nothing wrong in this situation when you voted for TARP and when you protected AIG bonuses, I think that the banks have a little situation where they find that your credibility might not be as high as it should be.
Congressman, it sounds like as though you don't think the president's necessarily learned the lesson here. What about Congress with all the process moving forward on a much stiffer regulation over Wall Street and so forth? Has Congress learned the lesson on what caused the problem?
No, Congress is overreacting. They're permanently instituting the Wall Street bailout, and I think that's exactly what we do not need. The world is getting smaller. The economies throughout the world are getting more entrepreneurial, more innovative, and people have more ability right now, as in the United States, through the communications revolution, through the innovation revolution, to control more of their lives than at any time in human history. And so why Washington wants to keep getting bigger, less accountable, less transparent, and more costly, and do more decision-making for the sovereign American people is absolutely antithetical to the way we need to go. In short, they're trying to drop Lyndon Johnson's Great Society on a globalized economy, and the results are not going to be salubrious for the American people.
Sir, unfortunately, our time is up. As always, great to have you with us, and Merry Christmas to you.
Same to you. Thanks.
Michigan Congressman Thaddeus McCotter represents Michigan's 11th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.